The scripture reading this morning is from John 21, 1 through 19. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" The answer was, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they did, and there were so many fish that they couldn't haul in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loves said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord. He wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far away from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish that you have caught." Simon Peter got up and pulled the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Jesus replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to them, "Take care of my sheep." He asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" he replied. "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of God.
Well, I was able to go down to San Diego yesterday to see my mother. It was her birthday. She says hi, everyone. And she lives on the ranch that we grew up on down in southeast San Diego County. And I was really lucky, I think, in a lot of ways, growing up there. It's a nice place with mountains surrounding it. And in those mountains, I was able to go as a little kid and just explore, and I'd find all kinds of things up there. I mean, the thing I wanted to find the most were always bones. Any boys here just always want to find bones, or girls? Yeah. Especially being a reader of Hardy Boys mysteries, you know? I really wanted to find human bones. Never found any. That would have been cool. There were rocks up at the top of this mountain that looked to me like they had the imprints of dinosaur tracks. Big, huge footprints. I saw all kinds of things in the mountains. But one thing that I experienced in the mountains more than once, and that I know was real, was the presence of God. I could really sense his presence whenever I walked up in those hills, especially when the breeze was blowing and you could smell the sage. And I was all alone, but I knew I wasn't alone, and I could feel God's presence. And it really instilled in me, and I'm sure you all have different memories that are like this, instilling in you the sense of a relationship between you and God. God and me. God and me. It's a great thing. Become in love with this God that takes action in our lives, that makes things different for us. God and me. Well, Peter on this day, as he was out there on that lake, I'm sure that he was thinking a lot about his relationship with God, his God and me relationship. They were out fishing that day. You know, they had seen the resurrected Jesus, but he hadn't given them any real instructions about what was going to happen next. Remember, he just said, I'm here, and then he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. So they're just waiting around, so they go out fishing, I guess. It was probably the best thing they could think of to do. But I'm sure out on that Lake Galilee, all those memories of God and me for Peter must have come up, especially for Peter. They had so many experiences on that lake, so many triumphs together, Peter and Jesus. It was on that lake where Peter was fishing many years before with his friends, when their nets that were empty suddenly became full of fish, miraculously became full of fish, and Peter had known that it was that man, Jesus, who was teaching on the shore, that he had done it. And when he saw that, Peter had left everything behind. He left his home, everything behind, to follow this teacher, Jesus. It was on that lake, on a storm-tossed night, when Peter stepped out of the boat that they were in, stepped out of the boat to meet Jesus, who was walking on the water. He stepped out with that much faith in this Jesus. And Peter himself was able to walk on that water for a little while. Jesus and me. Jesus and me. Peter had always been, since that moment, a man of action who loved and was devoted to Jesus. Peter was the first to speak out his belief that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, you remember? Later, Peter was one who stood and said that he alone among all of the disciples would stand with Jesus, even unto prison or unto death, if that's what it took. Peter would stand with Jesus. It was Peter on the night that Jesus was arrested, remember, who drew his sword to defend Jesus. He sliced off the ear of a soldier. He was a man of action who loved Jesus, had that relationship, Jesus and me. So it must have been amazing to him. It must have been remarkable to him on this particular day that we heard about today, when they're out there again, they're fishing, and they're just sort of drinking in the sun, you know, listening to the waves on the shore, just kind of feeling the pull of the water against the oars, feeling the nets in their hands. But when suddenly those nets were filled with fish again, and Peter knew immediately, that's my Lord. That's the Lord, he said. And he jumps into the water to go and be with him as fast as he can. And he swims up on the shore. And the other disciples follow along behind. There's my Jesus. There's my Jesus. But then the story takes a little turn, and I wonder if Peter's enthusiasm, if Peter's feeling of connection with that Jesus began to be a little bit toned down, was kind of waning after breakfast when Jesus calls him aside. Now, I don't know about you, I had a dad who was a man of few words, but you know, if he called you into his den and he said, have a seat, you knew that something was probably up, you know. Suddenly this list started going through your mind of all the things you could possibly have done wrong and how many of those he could possibly know about. I think with Peter, you know, you're talking about Jesus, there may not have been too many things you could do wrong, but he probably knew about all of them. I'm thinking that as Jesus took Peter aside, probably going through Peter's mind was a replay of that night when Jesus was arrested. Remember that night that he stood up and said that he alone among all the disciples would stand for him unto prison or unto death, if that's what it took. That after he'd said that, and after he had drawn that sword to try to defend his Lord, after that, but then after Jesus had been bound and taken away and beaten and broken, that instead of standing for Jesus, Peter had actually denied that he knew him 3 times. Yeah. Pressured by the crowd, Peter had said of this Jesus, "I don't know him." That wonderful Jesus and me, Jesus who had acted in Peter's life in such a powerful way, was a little broken. "I don't know him." Well, as they stood on the shore that night, it's a remarkable thing. Jesus didn't bring it up. He didn't say anything about it. I mean, we could think of all the things he could have said, right? All the things that we say when we want to say "we told you so," but we don't really want to say that, you know. No, instead, he asked Peter a question, simple question. "Do you love me?" Peter had a hard time answering that question. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" I'm sure that Peter remembered the night that he stood and said that he alone among all the disciples would stand with Jesus to prison or unto death. But what had his actions said? Did he really love Jesus? "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" I'm sure that Peter remembered the night when Jesus was praying all through the night in anguish, and he asked Peter to please stay awake and to watch, and Peter fell asleep. What had his actions said? Did he really love Jesus? "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter must have thought of that time when he claimed that he deserved to be Jesus' right-hand man. But what had his actions said? Did he really love Jesus? Well, as Peter struggled with that answer, all he could come up with was, "Lord, you know. You know everything." And Jesus did know everything. He did. He knew all about Peter's hot-headedness, his impetuousness, the way he would just grab hold of life. He knew about Peter's failure. But Jesus also knew that Peter loved him. Jesus knew that the reason that Peter had left everything behind was because he loved him. Jesus knew that it was Peter's love that inspired him to step out of that boat in faith. Jesus knew it was Peter's love that caused him to stand up and make that rash promise that led to his failure. He knew that Peter loved him. What he needed now was for Peter to remember he loved him. But more than that, he needed Peter to now move into a different kind of love for Jesus. To mature from one who loved the way that Jesus acted in his life to becoming a person of love who would act for Jesus in the world. To change his relationship from being all about Jesus and me to Jesus and me for thee, for the world. Dig it at this minute. In this conversation, Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" And he changes the definition of what that love is. Do you love me? If you love me, you'll take care of my sheep. You'll feed my lambs. You'll feed my sheep. Take care of my people. Jesus needed Peter to stop being an impetuous follower of Jesus and become a leader for Jesus, a leader for Jesus, a leader for him. To start looking at his love for Jesus in a different way, in a new way. Feed my sheep, care for my lambs, feed my lambs. See, I think that Jesus asks us every single day if we love him. He asks us if we love him. And he asks us if we love him in this way. How does our love for Jesus become our care for other people, for taking care of the people around us for him, for his sake? How do we feed the people around us because we love Jesus? It's a new kind of way of thinking about our love for him. It's not just Jesus and me. It's Jesus and me for the sake of thee. We all have things that we are concerned about as we look out into the world, I hope. How do we see those things in light of Jesus' love? In light of taking care of those people in Jesus' name? We look at Jesus' people today. I look at this, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but we look at people who are enslaved today to a corrupted view of sexuality. We see it everywhere. A corrupted view of sexuality that leads to the abuse of children, it leads to the loss of their innocence, leads to the objectification of women and others. I mean, to the extent that we participate in those things directly by what we watch, by what we look at on the computer, by what we see, to the extent that we ignore it, and enable it by our inaction. How are we taking care of his sheep? How are we feeding his lambs. Do we really love him? The way we take care of our kids, the education, the training of their minds, do we give all that over 100% to the system of education that we have, to our culture? Or are we proactive about making sure that those whom we are responsible for raising also understand God's point of view? Is there prayer in our homes? Is the Bible central in our homes? Do we talk about those things in our homes? Because it can't only happen at church. No way. To the extent that we do that, we're taking care of those sheep. We're taking care of those lambs. We're feeding those lambs. In the way we interact in our culture politically, how conscious are we of the laws and the regulations that those representatives that we vote for, how do those laws and regulations really impact the world around us? And are they encouraging the dignity, God's image in people around us? To the extent that we don't discern those things, I fear we're not taking care of those sheep. We're not feeding his lambs. We're not loving him. It's tempting to let our relationship with God just become something that's over here, that's just Jesus and me, and not let it bleed over into all of our lives to make it Jesus and me for the sake of thee, for the sake of the world around us, to see the world in those lenses and then take action on it. Sometimes those actions are going to be easy to discern. Sometimes they're going to be big things that we have to take a stand on. Other times they're going to be things that no one will ever notice, but we will know and Jesus will know. And no matter what, they make an impact. I read a story of a church whose building was next door to a group home for children who were cognitively disabled. And you know what their whole ministry was at this church? Every day, volunteers would go over and hold the hands of these children and sing to them and brush their hair and just sit quietly with them, even though in all probability, those children did not even know that anyone was in the room with them. Why would they do such a thing? Take care of my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. These were God's people. And you know what? They're inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. It's easy to get stuck in a relationship with God that is just Jesus and me, loving the action that God takes in our lives, just loving all that. And that's great. We should do that. We should praise him the way that he acts, the way that he moves in our lives. But we can't only be there. We also need to become those people who are people of love, who will act for Jesus' sake. Jesus and me, for the sake of thee. We can do that beginning today. Let's pray together. Lord, Heavenly Father, this is the place where we come to hear your word. We come to come in contact in a real way with your Spirit. Lord, we ask that you come into our hearts this week and help us to see where we can witness for you, where we can become people of extraordinary love. Love of such depth that people who see what we do will say, that has to come from God. Help us, O God, be people who love you with all our hearts and love you in such a way that we take care and we feed your people around us. We ask this today in Jesus' precious name. Amen.